Come let us ascend to the high place, the holy mountain where God dwells. Let us enter in to the holy place, worship the King. Worship the King.
All right now, this is praise and worship time. We have entered into his gates. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Put our hands together. Let's put our hands together.
To the high place, the holy mountain, where God dwells, let us enter in. To the holy place, worship the King. Worship the King.
Yeah. Worship the King. Worship the King.
He is high and lifted up.
I worship the King.
Worship the King. Worship the King. He is high and lifted up in this place. Worship the King.
Worship the King.
Worship the King. He is high and lifted up in this place.
All right, stand up on your feet. Come on, everybody. Let's get loose. We're worshiping the King. Let's clap our hands. Yeah.
Come let us ascend to the high place, the holy mountain where God dwells. Let us enter in to the holy place. Worship the King.
Yes.
Worship the King.
They say clapping gets your physical going and your mental going. But we clapping for a God that is faithful.
Worship the King.
Worship the King.
Worship the King.
He is high.
He is high and lifted up in this place. Worship the King. Worship the King. He is high and lifted up in this place. Worship the King.
Yeah.
Come let us ascend to the high place, the holy mountain where God dwells. Let us enter in to the holy place.
Yes.
Worship the King. Worship the King.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He would be with me.
God said he would be with me.
me.
And I'm on the phone.
Be with me. God said he'd be with me.
When I go to the doctor.
Be with me.
I'm feeling bad.
Be with me.
He'll be with me.
Be with me. God said he'd be with me.
God said.
He'll
be with me.
Be with me. God said he'd be with me.
Oh, he'll be with me.
Be with me.
When I'm feeling bad.
Be with me.
Pain in my body.
Be with me.
And God said
he'd be with me.
He'll be with me.
Be with me.
When I can't pay my bills.
Be with me.
He'll be with me.
Be with me.
Every
God said he'd be with me.
Strong.
Strong.
And rain.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay. All right. So, let's go. Is it this one? Okay. Amen. Well, we are learning and getting the kinks out of our brand new sound system. Amen. So y'all back with us for a minute or two. All right. Let's go to now Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, I'm going to begin. Oh, thank you for our prelude, Dr. Jones and Brother Terry in our mid-morning choir. I'm going to begin reading at verse number one. Verse number one. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse number one. Now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come or visit. And he said to them, "The harvest indeed is abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, and behold, I send you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no provisions bag, no change of sandals. refrain from retarding your journey by saluting and wishing anyone well along the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this household, which means freedom from all the distresses that result from sin. May that be with this family. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and blessedness you wish shall come upon him. But if not, it shall come back to you. And stay on in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whenever you go into a town and they receive and accept and welcome you, eat what is set before you and heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. But whenever you go into a town and they do not receive and accept and welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we are wiping off against you. Yet know and understand this, the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty miracles performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. However, it shall be more tolerable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted unto heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades, or the regions of the dead. He who hears and heeds you, the disciples, hears and heeds me. And he who slights and rejects you slights and rejects me. And he who slights and rejects me slights and rejects him who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. And finally, in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. God's word for God's people. They were sent out. They did mighty, miraculous things. But God was saying, you don't rejoice in the acts. You don't rejoice in the works. You rejoice in the fact that your name is written. Amen. Amen. So thank God that your name is written. And take a moment to think on that, meditate on that, be grateful for that. Yes. And on the night that our Savior was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, blessed it, and said, this is my body broken for you. Let us eat together. In like manner, he took the cup and he blessed the cup. And he said, this is the blood of the New Testament. We celebrate this to show his death, his burial, and his resurrection until he returns. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Amen. Deacon Barnes, if anybody is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Anyone who'd like to come to the altar may come at this time. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for being so merciful, so faithful, and so kind to each and every one of us. You have brought all of us from a long way, and we thank you that you are still walking with us on this journey. Father, as we come, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for a Savior and a King who has all power in his hand. And as we come around this altar, whatever concerns are on the hearts and minds of my brothers and my sisters, I pray that you will replace their anxiety with peace. I pray that you will replace their angst with a sense of contentment. And I pray that you will replace the fears of what could happen with the joys of what you've already done. And in doing that, Heavenly Master, give them strength, give them courage, and give them a mind to know that if God walked with me yesterday, I know he's walking with me today. So, Father, we ask you to do this so that you are glorified, so that we are edified, and so that your name is magnified. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 And now I am a happy all. Hello. Thank you.
know we come this far by faith.
Jesus,
thank you,
thank you, Jesus,
thank
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
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 Thank you. You brought me from a mighty, brought me from a mighty long way.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. Oh, his blood redeems me from stain of the sin. And his blood cleanses me way down within. So if you ask me how I made it and how I've overcome, tell you it's because of the blood.
His blood still works, and I'm glad to report that it never lost its power. Yes, it works.
Yes, it works.
I've been redeemed,
by
the blood.
Blood,
Jesus, still.
God still works.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. His blood still works.
I know it works. I know it works.
His blood still works.
Yeah, yeah.
His blood still works. Yes, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it works.
Yes, it works.
Don't you know? Don't you know it works?
Yes, it works.
It works all the time.
Yes, it works.
Yeah. And the lost is found.
Yes.
Jones, Brother Terry, and Mid-Morning Choir. Our God and our Father, we come now and surrender ourselves to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy, the second chapter. Deuteronomy, the second chapter. While we're turning, I did this morning, but I have to now thank Minister Cawthon, Brother Jordan, Deacon Green, other deacons, and the trustees. Trustees have pretty much been on fire for the last year. But for, yes, they have. And thank God for them getting us this new sound system. We really appreciate it very, very much. Amen. Them and the deacons, they on fire for the Lord, and we thank God for that. Let's go now to Deuteronomy, the second chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the first verse. At the first verse, we find that Moses is retelling the story of the wanderings of the children of Israel when they went into the wilderness on their way to the promised land, which is Canaan. So here he is beginning to retell that story. And in verse 1, it says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me. And for many days we journeyed around Mount Seir. And the Lord spoke to me, Moses, saying, 'You have roamed around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the Israelites, you are to pass through the territory of your kinsmen, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So watch yourselves carefully. Do not provoke or stir them up, for I will not give you of their land, no, not enough for the sole of your foot to tread on. I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. The descendants of Esau were the Edomites, and God was sending Israel in, but he was giving them specific instructions regarding where they can and cannot go. Understand that when God sent them into the promised land, he sent them to particular sections of the promised land, which is Canaan. And when he did that, he had already sent other groups into other parts of the promised land. And we'll see why in a few minutes. But notice where the Lord is the one that told Moses, it's time to turn northward. Understand that one of the things that is important and imperative in your life is to keep in mind you move at God's command. You don't move when you think you should move. You don't move when you think it's a good idea. You always move when God says move. Verse number 6. You shall buy food from them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them for money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Amen. Amen. That is another point of observation. That with all of your wanderings, God has always provided for you. Amen. Always. He always provides for his children. He takes care of his children. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? And that's why when you walk according to the word of God, the Bible says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if I may, even when we're talking about different things that God, the wonderful things he's doing in this place, when we look at the fact, I want you to pay attention to something. God knew, and we waited on him. Praise God for Minister Carlton. We waited on him. He knew we needed, first of all, a new HVAC system. We waited until he told us to go. We went. And the fact was, we didn't beg y'all for money. And the HVAC system, this new up-to-date HVAC system was paid off in a year. 1 year. And now for the sound system, ain't no balances or nothing like that. God gave us what we needed to go ahead and get a state-of-the-art sound system. Why is God doing that? Because we have leaders and we have a council that understands, no, we move at God's command. And we do what God says to do when God says to do it. Amen. And so the thing I'm showing you is that if you look right here, right now, God is showing you that he is true to his word. And he will do exactly what he said he will do. Okay? So verse number 6, you shall buy food from them. Oh, I read that already. Verse number 8. So we passed on from our brethren, the sons of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, away from the Arabah, which is the wilderness, and from Elath, and from Ezion-Geber. We turned and went by the way of the wilderness of Moab, and the Lord said to me, do not trouble or assault Moab, or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot for a possession." Stop. So we have two instances now where the Lord told Israel, this is one place that you better not mess with the people that I put there. So the Edomites, don't mess with them. I've sent them in before you to take care of that region of Canaan. Now I'm sending in the Moabites, but I've sent them in before you to take care of another region of Canaan. I'm going to send in the Ammonites, because the Moabites and the Ammonites are the children of Lot. But I've sent them in before you so that they will accomplish what I need them to accomplish where I have sent them. And that's why I'm sending you specifically to these locations, because that is what I have given to you. Point of reference, understand that when you follow God, listen to God, when you learn the word of God, when you're in the word of God, not only will God direct you where to go, he will direct you where not to go. Some of us have gotten into situations in our lives because we have tried to walk into places that God ordained for somebody else. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And you've wondered why things have happened the way they are. Well, you did the walking. And blind folk don't know where they're going. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? They don't know where they're going, Marky. They don't know where they're going. They're led by ambition. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. And so the thing to keep in mind is that God, when it says, when David said, "Thou leadest me in the paths of righteousness," number one, it ain't for you. It's for what? His name's sake. And so when he leads you in the paths of righteousness, that means he will lead you where you should go and lead you where you should not go. Deacon Emerson Smith and Minister Carlton can remember this. I'll give you an example, because I like to give examples, Deacon Frank, when it comes to the church. Across the street, we were in a position to buy all of that property over across the street. And Minister Sister Willow was here then, because we had gone there. And the Lord told us, no. No. Now, we looking and saying, man, with all this space, we can do something. It's probably going to take $1 million to go ahead and do what we want to do, but we in a position where we can do something. And I remember Minister Carlton, Sister Willow, and I were praying, and the Lord said, no. You remember that, Minister Carlton? Lord said, no. Now, if we were trying to be ambitious, or try to make a little name for ourselves, we'd go ahead and do it and say, God gonna bless us on the back end. But later we found out reasons why he said no. But it wasn't about us knowing the reasons when he told us. It was about being obedient. Why was God telling that? Why was he telling the leaders? Why was he telling the deacons? Why was he telling us all of that? Because I would get news from somebody else. And you know the Holy Spirit had to tell them. Well, when you got your leaders studying the word of God, God said he'll reveal everything he needs to reveal.
So that's why for some of you, do not let ambition lead you into a trap set for you by the enemy, because the enemy is using your pride to lead you in the wrong direction. And everything that looks good ain't from God. Let me say that again. Everything that looks good, Bro Rico, it ain't from God. That's why you sit and wait. And keep this in mind, Lisa, God ain't never in a hurry. So when you feel rushed to do something, when you feel panicked and you gotta move, that ain't the peace of God. Now, why did God move the Ammonites in? Why did God move the Moabites in? Why did God move the Edomites in? Verse number 10. Here we go. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to go to the book to show you what I was talking about. Verse 10, the Emim dwelt there. In times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. These also are known as Rephaim, which is a word that means what? As are the Anakim, but the Moabites call them Emim. Y'all here with me? God sent them in to get rid of a race of giants. How did the giants wind up there? Bible tells us in Genesis 6 that angelic beings came down before the flood and after the flood and made it with human women and produced giants. Ain't that right, Deacon Emerson? I just had to mess with him since he was there. Praise the Lord. He and his wife have been sick for quite some time. We're so glad to see y'all back. Deacon Emerson and Deacon Paul. So these particular angels came down, had intercourse with human women, produced giants. That's one of the reasons why when you look at Canaan, where are most of the giants in that region located? They are located in Canaan. What does that have to do with prophecy? Didn't Noah said, cursed be Canaan? He sent the Edomites into one section of Canaan to get rid of the giants over there. He sent the Moabites into another section to get rid of the giants there. He sent the Ammonites into another section to get rid of giants there. I was always taught, yeah, they went in because they went into the promised land and the Lord had promised them this land of milk and honey. No, this was a warring expedition. God was sending them on an elimination mission. Why? The angels were mating with human women because they wanted to corrupt the human genome. Why did they want to do that? Because if I can corrupt the human genome in Canaan, that's going to mess things up for the Messiah when he tries to come through. All of this is in the Bible. Well, y'all know now, yeah. But anyway, all of this is in the Bible. All of this is made clear. This wasn't about just going into some land of milk and honey. God was sending them in to exterminate, to teach these angels, you
can't come in here and corrupt my creation and think I'm going to stand by and let you do it. Why would they know that? Why would they think about coming in when you're talking about angels? Why would they think about doing all of these things? Simply because they heard the same prophecy y'all read in the Garden of Eden. When the prophecy said that the woman's seed is going to bruise the serpent's head. Pay attention. It's Garden of Eden, chapter 3 in the book of Genesis. Why was that important? Number one, women don't have seeds. Women have eggs. The seed must come from the male. So if the woman is going to have a seed, then that means it's not going to be fertilized by a human being. That was the prophecy. That's what those angels tried to duplicate. And if I can mess up the human egg, that divine seed won't be able to come through. They tried it before the flood. They tried it after the flood. And they're still doing it now. Listen to what I'm saying. We read, wasn't it last week, wasn't it, Sister Cargill, Sister Height? We read where the Bible says in the end times, the exact same thing that was happening in the days of Noah are going to be happening again. Why do you think we put so much time into studying the word to get to the place to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh? To understand things in the spiritual realm and not in the flesh. Because the Bible said, be wise. Y'all ever wondered why you can have crazy people? Well, all the time. Yeah, crazy people. But you got crazy people following crazy people who have the audacity to say that the crazy person they following is like Jesus. You know, we talked about that Wednesday. And then you got this the speaker man talking about he like Moses. And this, Y'all help me. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just being observant. I ain't talking about nobody. But y'all help me. When did Jesus ever grope women? Help me. I never saw. When did Jesus ever grope women and cheat the government when he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's? And you wondering, this don't make sense. How somebody gonna follow somebody like, listen? It's because it was never based on logic. You are looking at spiritual strongholds. That's why logic don't work. Now, if the Bible says be careful how you treat people because you might be entertaining an angel, if an angel can take human form, do I need to say anything else, Sister Fields Burnett? If the Bible says you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, Come on. So why am I saying that? Spirits taking on human form, spirits coming into human form. Remember what the Bible says. There ain't nothing new. But we haven't been taught the world the way God teaches it. I was always taught the promised land, they're going in, do the best you can, rely on the Lord. But the Bible says, no, that's what the babies learn. You're supposed to be at a different place now. You're supposed to be growing in grace. You're supposed to be growing in the knowledge. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You're supposed to be doing that. Why? Because, Lisa, there is something for you to do here to prepare you for where you're going. You have to matriculate. You can't get a diploma if you keep flunking the third grade. At some point, you're going to be in a place where ain't no recess. You hear what I'm saying? At some point, games are over. At some point, the basic learning is done. At some point, you got to go higher than that. At some point, you need to be growing. You ain't coming just to do what you're supposed to do on Sundays, halfway interested. Not really interested in Christ, just interested in keeping up appearances and interested in keeping up what you call your church. You ain't never had a church. You ain't died for no church. You ain't got no church. The thing to understand is that when it comes to these things, that's why God said, I have chosen and ordained my people with eyes to see and ears to hear. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I can't keep coming to you talking about the Red Sea. How many years you done heard about the Red Sea? And you didn't even hear the whole thing about the Red Sea. Oh, no. Remember what we learned? You didn't hear the whole thing about the Red Sea. They were traveling over 100 miles in one night. Listen to me, y'all. Oh, hello. That's why they keep bringing it up, Joy, as a miraculous thing. How can 2 million people walk over 100 miles in one night unless God stopped time? When you study it, you find out this wasn't no 3 mile journey. One, that includes the cripple. That includes the old. That's why they keep bringing it up. And when you understand who they were, you begin to understand who you are. When you understand the power, then you begin to understand the identity. And once you begin to understand the identity, you recognize that if you are God's child and you know you're his child because you want to learn about him, you want to be more like him, you want to do all of the things that please him, and the only thing you're concerned about is him, when you do that, then the thing is, you know that you've been chosen. You know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know it because Jesus said, only those that the Father gives to me will come to me. When you know that, you got some power.
That's why a lot of folk in the world, Lord have mercy, I bet I've been leading so long. That's why in this world, Marky, there's a reason why they try to keep us unempowered. I ain't gonna get into all of that right now. But the thing is, there's a reason. There's a reason why they didn't want you to learn how to read. You might mess up and read up on your history. There's a reason why they wanted to control, till we did. They wanted to control. Now you see what I'm talking about. They wanted to control all of the publications so they can make sure that certain truths you don't get. You see what I'm saying? Because if you get some of the truths, you might start to think you are somebody. And see, the thing is, if I start to think I am somebody, that means I'm going to look at how you're treating me a completely different way. But I know that the weapons that we fight with are not carnal, because the thing is, you got to keep me from knowing who I am, because if I know who I am, I'm going to know who I'm named after. If I know who I'm named after, then I might mess up and do what 2 Chronicles said, if my people who are called by my name. Are y'all hearing me in here? And that's why when the Lord was moving me in this direction, I was saying, well, Lord, this ain't the traditional stuff. Say, I didn't call you to be a traditional church. I called you to be a place where I give you my knowledge. I give you my wisdom. Well, Lord, what about those that don't want it? I know I got a broom. You just do what I told you to do. I'll sweep all the other stuff out of your way. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I'll sweep the other stuff out of your way. I'll make sure you don't ever have to worry about that again. But I'm telling you this to tell you what? The Lord said, if you want wisdom, get understanding. And that's why, Sister Anita, we have the classes that God ordained for us to have. Now, the members and the students are able to start pulling all this stuff together. They were telling me, that's too many, preacher. You got to watch yourself. You don't want you to get overtired. You ain't say that, Deacon Frank. You don't want you to get overtired and all that kind of stuff. I said, no. This is the thing about it. I got to do what he told me to do. And I got all eternity to rest. But the Bible said, work while it is day, because the night comes when you won't be able to. Why did we go through this? Because I want y'all to read the rest of that chapter, but I'm going to tell you why. Sister Bradley, I'm going to tell you why. Sister Bradley just got baptized. Oh, we got the heater. Feet and fix it. If Sister Bradley, if you want to go back, let me know here. If you want to go back, just let me know. Let me know. I was traumatized too. You wasn't the only one. I was traumatized too. I was traumatized too. Y'all don't know how cold that water was. Listen, why did we tell you this? Because God sent them in, JD. To JD. I'm talking JD. That's my daughter. God sent them in with this caveat. You will always have giants. You will, y'all hear me? I got to do like I'm teaching, so I'm going to come on down here. Y'all crazy. Y'all need some help. Y'all need some help, seriously. You will always, oh, y'all don't feel bad up there. Okay. You will always have giants because God is always, Jamal, going to put you in a position where you need his help. Always. Always. Even when you think you are in a place where you're okay, and this is where I've been trying to get, there will still be giants. Still going to be some giants, Marky. I don't know what your giants are, but you're going to have giants. Because, let me go to this scripture. Y'all go to this. I'm at the same place, but I want to read this one verse before I say this last part and let y'all go get ready. It took y'all a minute to get that. Took them a minute, Deacon Frank. Took them a minute, Deacon Frank. Go to verse 30. Verse 30. Same chapter. Deuteronomy 2, verse 30. Look at this. It says, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. Now look at the reason. For the Lord your God did what? And what? Why? As at that day. Why is that important? Understand, God will create enemies for you so that he can win the victory through you. Oh, you like my shoes? Oh, okay. God bless you. Look at God will create enemies for you in order to win a victory through you. Don't worry about who don't like you. Could be you didn't meet their expectations, Sister Cook. Could be they couldn't use you for whatever they wanted to use you for. Could be stuff you may not even ever figure out. They figured out, you know, I was going to ride your train and you stole the ladder. Could be, and it could be stuff you don't, or it could be that God turned their heart against you. So he could do what he wants to do through you. Proverbs says, God created the wicked for the day of judgment. So you got to keep that in mind, Deacon Sharon. You got to keep that in mind, Sylvia. When people are acting the way they acting, you ain't got time to back up and try to figure out why. You ain't got time to be trying to figure out why. All you got time to do is what the Bible says, fear God, keep his commandments. Yeah. And I'm going to end with this. Keep this in mind. The scripture says no weapon formed against. Stop. No weapon what?
Formed.
Didn't say it wouldn't be formed. It said, but no weapon that is formed against you. What?
Shall
But then it says this, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Let me leave this with you. If people talk about you and still come after you and do this, that, and the other, that's fine. Because the Bible promises you're going to have the last word. You're going to have it. You're going to have the last word. God ain't going to leave his child out there. He's always coming to the rescue of those who diligently seek him. All right, that's all for today. Bow your heads. Oh, gracious God, thank you for the victories you have won, the victories you're setting up right now. Thank you for showing us that you are a God of war when it comes to your children. But in that, thank you for showing us, as the song says, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. If there's somebody here who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, right where you are, if he's moving you to do so, just say, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins at Calvary. And I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit so that you can learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. Learn what it means that our weapons are spiritual and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Understand that even with the world as crazy as it appears, God is still in control. And understand how he wants us to walk as we traverse through this period of time. For others who want to join the congregation, there are cards in the back of the pews. Feel free to get one, fill it out, and on your way out of the vestibule, please leave it in the box. And when you leave it in the box, there will be people and ministers from the membership intake team ministry who will get in touch with you and love you with the love of Jesus Christ. After that, to all who are here, remember God is faithful and he keeps all of his promises. So wherever you are in your life, just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he promises he will direct your path. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. To the only wise God be all glory, majesty, dominion, and power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you, choir.